It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut Four. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined as always by Gemma Kaneko.
What's up?
And nobody else.
I mean, who needs anybody else?
Who needs anybody else? We were going to have Chris Landers on. Unfortunately, there is some swamp gas reflecting off Mars, and it's interfering with our satellite hookup to Austin, Texas. Apparently, it's lovely there today, but sadly, we will not be able to talk to him.
It's very sad.
Sad face. But we'll talk to him next week or the week after. We have a lot to get to today, and not a ton of time to do it, because this is a podcast, which means that we only have a certain amount of time that you're going to listen to us. And we need to talk about Eric Thames.
Yes.
Who might be the best player in baseball.
Ever.
Ever. Better than Babe Ruth. You decide. We'll also check in, of course, with Chris Coughlin and his incredible leaping play over Yadier Molina that set the internet ablaze. And, of course, we'll talk about Addison Russell, who has a rather unique autograph collection.
Mm-hmm.
What could that be? I don't know. We'll find out. And of course, Barry Bonds, because it wouldn't be a Cup Forecast without talking about Barry Bonds. And then a little bit later, Gemma will talk to MLB.com Brewers beat reporter Adam McAlvey about Eric Thames.
Surprise.
Surprise. It's all Eric Thames on the Cup Forecast. Thames Forecast. But before we do all of that, Dancing with the Stars, our weekly update. We'll keep this brief, but David Ross performed in an all, I need to keep saying this because I can't believe this, an all boy band themed performance. David Ross, boy band performance on Dancing with the Stars. This is real life. That's 2017 for you.
I mean, I think it's very accurate, though, because I don't know how much you liked boy bands when they were a big thing. Obviously, I definitely liked the Backstreet Boys.
Backstreet Boys?
Yes, that was
my boy
band.
Who was your favorite Backstreet Boy?
Well, the thing is, like, there was no one in it that I was just like, yeah, at the time. Because Nick Carter was weird. I didn't like his hair. I liked Brian. But then he went on to have like a weird post-Backstreet Boys career that I cannot endorse.
But did you know that at the time?
No, I did not know at the time. So Brian favorite? Was my favorite. Okay. But also Kevin.
What was Brian's thing?
He was sweet.
He was the sweet one.
He was sweet. Like, Nick was the cute one, but he was also kind of like, oh, well, that dude, you know. You can't trust him. Brian was cute, but he would also call you back, probably.
Okay.
You know? But there's always a guy, like, who was a little bit older. Like, the one guy, they're like, oh, you probably have, like, one kid, maybe? And that is David Ross of the boy band. So it made sense to me that he would be there.
He is the, like, strangely older one.
Yeah.
He actually had his shirt off, too. That wasn't the fake shirt. Fake abs thing,
which we loved so much.
I know. I was sad when I saw that, but at least Ian got some abs,
some actual abs.
I know he wanted that,
so good for
thank
him.
God for that. Yeah. David Ross also performed the Argentine Tango.
Yes, and he made it through, so he'll be back next week.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that he'll win.
It is very possible. As I said, he has a very strong voting block.
He does.
So. And,
also, like, he only got the lowest score one time so far, which, like, is pretty good, considering that he's a catcher and not, like, a figure skater and some of these other people that are on the show, gymnasts.
Well, I was reading some recap the other day because I was looking up to see if he made it, and someone's like, oh, he may not be the most technically accomplished dancer, but he's obviously having the most fun. I was like, who are the people watching this show who are all also professional dancers?
People are obsessed with this show.
I get
show.
It. I get people are obsessed with it. But are all of them professional ballroom dance judges?
Well,
like,
look,
millions of people are like, I too am an expert on ballroom dance. No, it's about putting on a good show. And he puts on a good show.
But if you are a ballroom dance expert, this is your time to shine,
yes,
which is why they're all coming out of the woodwork. And they all have their blogs. There is Dancing with the Stars Twitter, I've discovered. Very passionate people.
To me, it's allied. It's just like Eurovision. It's about spectacle,
it
and it's about voting in huge chunks, no matter how the other people perform.
Which, we are totally a part of that. Vote for David Ross. He's great.
He
the Cubs
great.
Are great. Boy bands are great.
No matter if another baseball player is ever on Dancing with the Stars, we will be 100% behind.
Yeah, for sure.
As well.
The only problem will be if there are multiple baseball players.
Then we'd have to pick our allegiances. It would be tough.
That would be too hard.
Yeah.
You know who should go on Dancing with the Stars because he's already conquered Major League Baseball?
Who?
Eric Thames. On Tuesday night, Thames homered again. Yes, again. And it in the 9-1 victory over the Reds and the Brewers, just, you know, just so you know, 9-1. It was his 11th of the month, which broke the Brewers team record for April, and it puts him just 3 behind Albert Pujols for the major league record, and he still has 4 games to play. So it's theoretically, I would argue it's a virtual certainty that he'll break that record.
Now, how many home runs did he hit specifically against the Reds? 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some players have not even hit, like some of the players who were even on that list of most home runs so far have not even hit 8 home runs.
I know.
Well, which is incredible.
And again, it is important to note that Eric Thames last year was in Korea playing baseball because he couldn't get a major league job. Now here he is, one of the best home run hitters alive.
Barely.
And it's not like, I don't know that this pace is sustainable, right. But like this is real. Like it's a real right. thing. He's getting real contact. And you know, obviously the Reds are not the Cubs, but they're not
Korea.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like a real, it's
as
a real
we'll hear
team.
A little bit later on, Eric Thames has this new thing that he does in his routine that he has said has really helped him a lot. So maybe we'll see other players start to adapt that thing.
I hope so. I also think that every team in baseball should get to have Thames on their roster for a day. I think that would be like
fun.
That'd be a nice program
I
that
do
the
have
league
a question,
could run.
Though, which is like, why does any Reds pitcher still pitch to him?
Why is anyone still pitch
just
to
walk him?
Just walk him. Let's give him the Barry Bonds treatment.
Yeah.
Just put him on base. He's too dangerous.
Yes.
It is. I said this last week, but the fact that we're still talking about Eric Thames hitting home runs means that I need to reiterate this point. Listen to me, veteran major league players who maybe can't get on a roster. Go to Korea. Go to Japan. Go abroad. Broaden your horizons, and it will reap benefits to you in that you will learn the secret of hitting home runs, and then you will bring it back here.
I mean, again, his nickname in Korea was God.
I was incredulous last week that would catch on. I was a doubting Thomas. But let us move on from the weekly Eric Thames update,
yes.
which will become a new segment, mm-hmm. to Chris Coughlin, who during the Blue Jays 6-5 victory over the Cardinals on Tuesday, he was on first base after entering as a pinch hitter in the 7th inning. Kevin Pillar hit a triple to right field. Coughlin started running around the bases. Didn't look like he was going to make it home. He tried to go home. Yadier Molina standing there, brick wall in the way. Surefire future Hall of Famer, Yadier Molina. What is a Coughlin to do but leap over Yadi? He didn't go under. He didn't go around. He leapt over him, touched home plate, and gave the Jays a 3-2 lead. Is this the start of something new in baseball? Is this the beginning of the high jump era of Major League Baseball?
While I thought this was pretty cool, it was really awesome to watch. I liked that he just immediately like kind of somersaulted out of it and did the safe thing
yeah.
with his arms. Like he stuck the landing, kind of. I
was so
into
good.
It. I wonder if, I mean, it would be fun to see this, but I also would be a little worried, you know? Because not everyone
for
can
safety,
can somersault like that,
okay.
you know?
I get it if it's like a safety concern.
Yes, it is a safety concern. It's not an awesomeness concern because it's very awesome.
Right.
Yes, which maybe we just, you know, like you suggested, we were talking about this earlier, people need to start scouting gymnasts.
That's, yeah.
Yes.
Gymnasts. Basketball players,
mm-hmm.
high jumpers.
Can you teach those people to hit? Do
or
they have to
they
hit?
They could be a pinch runner.
Yeah, okay, all right.
So you could carry them 25th man on the roster.
I like it.
Send him in.
Simone Biles. 25th man.
Yes, please.
That would
yes,
be so cool.
Please. That would be the coolest thing ever.
So cool.
We're not just saying that because we write for Cut 4 and it would do wonders for our website to have a gymnast leaping over people every game. But it would also be good strategy.
I feel like, can you imagine if Ali Raisman came in at Fenway? Like, people would flip out. It would be
yes.
the coolest thing.
Well,
and then she would somersault over a catcher. It would be like a walk-off.
Oh, my
it would
God.
Be so good.
Oh, my God. That would be so exciting. Watch yes. her do like a double flip over the opposing catcher, tag home plate, score the winning run. Dirty Water starts playing. Everybody's going nuts.
It would be. It would
this
rule.
Is when I lie my head on the pillow at night. This is what the image will be dancing in my mind as I fall asleep. I think this is cool. I liked it. I want to see more. I want to see more unconventional athletic feats. Because the other
yes.
point is that
yeah.
these guys are all super great athletes, mm-hmm. and we don't always get to see all aspects of that athleticism show itself so apparently on the field. Mm-hmm. So it was neat to see that, because yes. you know, running, sprinting, catching, like that all takes a tremendous amount of skill and athleticism, but it you don't ever see it come out this way, but it's cool.
So I was watching in one of the games I was watching last night, there was an error and the guy didn't catch the ball, but it like touched his hand and he kept moving as though he still had the ball. It's just muscle memory. So yeah. It's like you've made this play 1,000 times, you know how to make the play, whatever. But when I see a play like this, I'm like, how did your brain and body decide to do this thing? You know, because nobody drills this. This is not like, let's practice somersaulting over the catcher.
Well, allow me to put on my Malcolm Gladwell fro and say that in a split second, athletes have to make these decisions
yeah.
in the blink of an eye.
I hate you.
And that was the decision that he made was, I'm going to leap
but
over.
But when something like that actually works,
it's so amazing and beautiful
to watch.
I know.
Right.
I love this. More of this, please.
Yes.
And we also have to note, Major League did it first.
Yes, but that's fiction.
I think it was a documentary.
Terrible. I'm going to call Malcolm Gladwell and have him on the show.
I choose to believe that's not. We should have. We definitely should have Malcolm Gladwell on the podcast. I want to talk about Addison Russell, though.
Yeah, let's talk about him.
But before we move on, we want to take a minute to tell you about the MLB Pipeline Podcast, which focuses on all things draft and prospect related. MLB Pipeline's draft and prospect gurus Jim Callis and Jonathan Mayo join Tim McMaster each week to talk about what's going on in the universe of MLB's future stars. Last week, Jim, Jonathan, and Tim shared some insight on Cuban prospect Luis Robert, and they tracked down the possibilities for the top 10 picks of this June's draft. That's the real draft. That's not our fantasy draft that in the fantasy league in which I'm beating Gemma. You can search for MLB Pipeline on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts and click subscribe. So go to the search bar, type in MLB Pipeline. That's MLB Pipeline and click subscribe. Okay, now let's talk about Addison Russell.
Yes.
Addison Russell, millennial, Cubs baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently has a unique autograph collection. Mm-hmm. Here's his quote that he told, I believe it was ESPN. I started collecting this offseason because my cousins, nieces, and nephews all started collecting. So I wanted to find a way to relate with them. What could he have been collecting? Was it Pogs? No, it was not Pogs. Was it little statues of cats? No, it was not little statues of cats.
Yes, kids love to collect little statues of cats.
It was Pokemon cards. Addison Russell collects Pokemon cards. Here's what else he says. I've signed a lot of baseball cards myself, and I just thought it would be cool if professional athletes would sign Pokemon cards, which, yes, that is cool.
It is
cool. I agree
cool.
with him.
It's also adorable.
Yes. And well, so what he's decided to do is he goes to the visiting clubhouse of all these teams, and he asks various players to sign his Pokemon cards. So far, he has Kenley Jansen and Corey Seager from the Dodgers, Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve from the Astros, Jonathan VR of the Brewers. I mean, there's like, he's amassing like a real collection of valuable autographs on even more valuable Pokemon cards.
Very adorable. So cute.
I think they're still valuable. I tell my parents that, so they don't throw them away.
I can't believe kids today are still collecting Pokemon cards.
Pokemon's a real deal.
I know, it's awesome, but like,
remember Pokemon Go? Everybody lost their mind.
No, I know, but like, that was on a phone, so it's, you can collect those because you don't actually have to like have the physical object. So it's, I'm happy that kids are still doing this because I did this.
Did you have the holographic Charizard?
I had a holographic in Japanese. It was a legendary bird. Not
Zapdos.
Nope, not Articuno. Not Zapdos. The other
one.
The
fire one.
The fire one.
Now
that I thought about it, I think of both the other ones. I can't think of this one's name, but that is the one I had.
We're bad
in
millennials.
Japanese,
we're losing our millennial license.
In
that's
a holographic
cool that's in Japanese.
Yes.
I had one Japanese Pikachu card, I think. That was it.
Yeah, the comic book card store was right next to the Japanese store that I used to go to for like Japanese candy and soda.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
At any rate, this is a really great thing to
this
be doing.
This is so adorable. I love it so much. I think that David Ross should do a Pokemon-themed dance for his next Dancing with the Stars thing. And they have some synergy, some team synergy there.
In honor of his teammate.
Yes.
That is a good
idea. Also because obviously he's into the 90s nostalgia with the boy bands. So just do a Pokemon. And there's tons of ridiculous Pokemon music. So it would be awesome.
That is true. Yes. That is true.
Yes.
He could dress up like Ash Ketchum.
That would be really good. I thought he would just wear like a Pikachu onesie, which I feel like I've seen him wear, but I could probably just be like imagining that.
He's a baseball player. They all wear stuff like that all the time. That's what October and September are for.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any signed baseball cards? Is that like a thing that you do?
I don't have any signed baseball cards. I have a collection of baseball cards, but they're pretty much just like silly things that I like. I do have a signed jersey, though.
From whom?
Victor Martinez.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's game used.
It's game used. It's game used. No big. Don't tell Ian that. I'll take it.
I will fight him. It is in a locked case.
I'm not a big autograph guy. I never have been. Now it's like, it's deeply, deeply, deeply frowned upon for me to go get an autograph.
Because you're an adult.
And because I work for Major League Baseball. Oh, yeah. But yes, because I'm an adult primarily. I've never been a big autograph person. I would have been good as a kid now, because now it seems like the thing that you do when you see a celebrity is snap a selfie.
Mm-hmm.
And like that makes a little bit more sense.
I've never been able to ask for an autograph. Like, I did not ask Victor Martinez to sign this jersey for me. It was a gift. So someone just gave it to me already signed. My dad did. So
are you sure it's not like a Tooth Fairy situation?
What?
The Tooth Fairy, okay, spoiler alert, listeners, is not real.
Wait, like this was just magic.
I'm not gonna spoil the magic for you.
I'm
it's
confused
okay.
by what.
No, it's okay.
Oh, that would be terrible, and also devalue the game used jersey.
Well, it's not like you're gonna resell it.
That's true. It's true. It has pine tar on both shoulders. It's cool.
I don't know. Your dad seems like a pine tar guy. Like he just carries it with him, just in case.
What? You're the worst. I'm gonna ruin all the nice things that you have.
Let's move on before I get you more angry at me. As you know, this is the Cut 4 cast, which means that we are legally required to talk about Barry Bonds. And it turns out that this week we learned that Candlestick Park, the site upon which it once stood, is going to become a mixed-use development. And as part of that, the streets are all being renamed in honor of famous giants, including Barry Bonds, Willie Mays, and Willie McCovey actually gets his own park, which is really cool. He already had a cove, now he also gets a park. I think that's really cool. I feel like more streets in more cities need to be named after baseball players.
Totally in favor of this. I wrote a post a while ago about streets in cities that are named after baseball players, so you can find that on MLB.com/cut4. There's a little map. There's like Mickey Mantle Avenue in Oklahoma City. There's Willie Stargell Avenue. Like, I think this is cool, and I prefer it also when those streets are not necessarily like that close to the ballpark. I like it when it's embedded in a city's culture. Like, we just really loved this person so much.
I agree.
There's a little neighborhood in northern Michigan, actually, where it's like Alan Trammell Way. Like every street in the developer has a baseball player, a Detroit Tigers baseball player.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I think that should just be more common all over the place.
I agree. Well, yes. And like every city has like a John F. Kennedy Boulevard.
Yes.
They don't all need John F. Kennedy Boulevard. He was a president. That's fine. Why don't we have some local flavor to all of these?
Yes. What would you name a street in your I guess it can be in any city, but like who needs that?
Well, I mean Boston, frankly, every street in Boston should be named after a Red Sox player. Either a Red Sox player or like a great figure of the American Revolution.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
So right now I think the person most in need of one, frankly, is Mookie Betts.
Wow, you did not go with David Ortiz Avenue.
Ortiz already has a way. I think that already happened.
Yes.
And I think Mookie Betts needs one. Because
mm-hmm.
I love Mookie Betts.
Would it be his full name or just last name?
I think it should be Mookie Betts Avenue.
Okay.
I think he needs an avenue.
Yeah, I like that.
What about you? What if you could pick any player who needs a street?
I mean, Detroit has like, so there's a French half and then the like English half, and the English half is like gridded and ordered, like regular streets, whatever. The French side is diagonals and it's a mess, but it's great. So there are a lot of random streets that could have names. And I feel like in Detroit sports history, you know, Tigers players, Miguel Cabrera is going to get a boulevard,
yeah, for sure.
Like a main drag. And then Justin Verlander will also get one.
What if you renamed Detroit Miguel Cabrera Town?
I feel like there would be some pushback.
No.
Because, I mean, there's so many different sports heroes. How can you pick just one for the name?
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
If I started the campaign to change Boston to just Ortiz Town, people would be like, what about Brady?
And that would be terrible.
What about, like, Larry Bird?
In Detroit, it would be like, no, it should be called Iserman Town. That's what it would be.
I hail from Charlotte, so pretty much the only acceptable answer is Steve Smithville. I'm excited that Barry Bonds is getting a street named
well-deserved.
I know.
Yes.
You know, Barry Bonds, he could have the country named after him. Yes. I would not be in opposition to that. But now I want to hear you talk to Adam McKelvey, MLB.com beat reporter, about all of the many stories that the Brewers have cooking.
We're joined this week by Adam McKelvey, MLB.com's Brewers beat writer. So great of you to join us. Hi, Adam.
I am very happy to join you, and I have been doing my homework for this.
Oh, good.
For the podcast.
We're so excited. Well, obviously, first things first, thing on everybody's mind, Eric Thames.
Yeah.
Most important question, Thames, or should we be fancy and say it like the River Thames?
Well, you can say it's like the river if you choose, but you would be doing it incorrectly because it is most definitely Thames. And I don't know how he came up with that. It's confusing because we all know the river, but it is most definitely Eric Thames. I think MLB Network did a cool thing where they did, now what was it? It was definitely Thames, Thames, or Thames, but I can't remember what the other Thames was. I've botched this story, but MLB Network, I know, has had some fun with his name. It's one of the many interesting things about Mr. Thames.
There's so many interesting things about him. Of course, the home run total, everyone's talking about it, comes back from Korea, is just on a tear. But he just seems to be a really interesting guy, too. He loves Milwaukee. He loves beer. What else should we know about him?
Well, look, when you're in my job, you don't care really if they win or lose. You want good stories, and sometimes that doesn't necessarily mean you have to have a really good team to have good stories. The Brewers are a building team. They're probably not going to win this division. They're not expected to go to the postseason, but Eric Thames is like this, just, I mean, I could write about him every day. I feel like I'm the Eric Thames beat writer. It reminds me of one of my first postseason assignments was when Carlos Beltran was hitting everything in sight for the Astros, and I was at 04. And I was helping out on our postseason coverage, and I basically was a Carlos Beltran beat writer for MLB.com. I'm right now, you know, as much the Eric Thames beat writer for MLB.com as covering the Brewers. He's a fascinating guy. He picked up meditation when he was in Korea. He's an avid reader, and he gave me some titles. I still have to write this story. Some books that he says helped him through that a really tough transition where he goes to a place where he doesn't know their protocol, he doesn't know their language, and he has to, you know, basically revive his career in a foreign land. He is an extremely thoughtful player. He still speaks daily to his boyhood hitting coach, a guy who helped him since he was 12 years old. He likes beer, which we, you know, obviously makes him a fan favorite in Milwaukee. I mean, every time you talk to him after a game, there's some sort of a new story, something you didn't know. And it was interesting. Last night, after he hit two homers against the Reds, who, by the way, are very tired of Mr. Thames and are probably not as excited about this story as the rest of us are, you know, he said one of the things in his first stint in the big leagues as a prospect and as a young big leaguer, he was so stressed about hitting home runs that he, you know, he drank too much. He was just kind of an unhealthy person because of the stress. And one of the things that's helped him get to where he is today is kind of learning to let that go and go to the plate and just react. That's kind of what he's doing now, and it's led to a pretty amazing early season success.
Do you think this is going to be sustained throughout the season? What is your prediction for his future with the Brewers?
Well, no, this is not sustainable. And I've actually had some Brewers people sort of on the side. You know, obviously they're not going to say this on the record, but I think they're a little worried that people think that this is what he's going to be for the whole season. And when he goes through his first quiet period, which, look, the history of the game tells us is coming, that people are going to panic and think he's all of a sudden lost it. He's going to go through bad periods where he's unproductive. That's how this game works. He is not going to hit 77 home runs or 80 home runs or whatever pace he's on right now. I'd be willing to make that bet for you right now. And the people here are going to have to kind of calm down a little bit when he does go through that quiet period. But he has been really cool talking about this current stretch of just kind of enjoying it, not overthinking it. I think he himself realizes that this is a hot streak that is going to at some point come to an end, and he's trying to prolong it like good hitters do for as long as humanly possible.
I mean, hopefully fans can take some of Eric Thames's advice and maybe try meditating about it through some of the
cold
streaks.
Well, look, have you done it? Are you a meditator?
I'm not a habitual meditator, but I have done it.
I have downloaded a couple of apps that a friend of mine recommended. I probably shouldn't say the name of them, but I think there's a lot of them in the App Store where you can do these little 5-10 minute meditation. And I'm certainly no pro. It's not something I've ever tried, but the couple of times I have done it, I've done these little 10-minute meditative things on my phone, and it's like taking an hour nap. It feels great. So I think it's the kind of thing that if you really commit to it and get good at it, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. I could see how this could be a really helpful thing to a ball player who's, you know, if you think about it, their goal is to do all this work all day. I mean, they're here at 6 hours before a night game. And they work, swing, tinker, and then they're supposed to go to the plate and forget all of that and clear their mind and react to the pitch. Mm-hmm. That's really hard to do, and I could see how meditation could help you with that. Eric Thames has kind of been talking about it a little bit, and I don't know, I haven't talked to any of his teammates yet if anybody else has picked it up, but it wouldn't surprise me if a couple of other guys have sort of asked him about it, and maybe there'll be some more who take up this practice.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're talking about how you look for good stories. And we already know that the Brewers are a really interesting team, like Kean Broxton, competitive skateboarder. Eric Thames, meditator, reader, comes from Korea. What else don't we know about the Brewers? What other weird things are going on with that team?
Well, at the risk of, revealing how the sausage is made, you asked me this earlier. You prepped me that you were going to ask me this.
Yes.
And to be honest with you, I had to look some stuff up. I was actually surprised that nothing really came to my mind. Usually in spring training, you get, you know, a bunch of these conversations with guys and you learn funny things that they're interested in outside of the game. I just happen to not really have any conversations with this group of players, but there are a couple, and spring training was one of them. So the Brewers have these two right-handers, Taylor Youngman and Tyler Cravey, who are not in the big leagues now, but every day in spring training, they would spend at least an hour playing chess. And it became kind of a focal point of the morning in the Brewers clubhouse where guys with their big long table, these two guys in the middle across from each other playing chess, and the kind of group would fill in around them and guys would talk about the game. And I thought that was kind of cool, a thinking man's game in a baseball clubhouse. So I liked that one. They had a player, Forrest Snow, who didn't make the roster, but he's a piano player. So we talked to him a little bit about that. And then I was actually looking in the Brewers media guide for ideas on this, and I didn't even know this. They have a pitcher, Brent Suter, who's already been up and down twice. He's kind of that last man in the bullpen who's going to have to shuttle back and forth between AAA as the Brewers have a need for a reliever, for a bench guy, whatever it may be. He's just going to be that guy this year. His bio says he plays guitar, he's into songwriting, dancing, which I don't know that I've ever seen dancing in a player's media guide bio. And cooking. So huh. I apparently need to speak more with Brent Suter about things other than pitching and the fact that he runs like a raptor, because those are the two main topics about Brent Suter that I think are pretty widely known. But he apparently has more good stories in his back pocket.
I think you need to get him to write a song for the Cut Forecast. Just be like, can you write a song for this podcast?
Well, look, when he gets called up next time, I promise you I will put him to work on that. And knowing
yes.
him, I bet he'll do it. He's pretty game for things. You know, the other thing is the Brewers have, you mentioned one already, Eric Thames. He made a lot of fans when he said he really likes beer, and then he came down and I asked him more about it. He says he likes kind of a nice an IPA with some body, and basically he became my favorite athlete of all time. But the Brewers actually have a brewer. They really actually have two brewers, because Ryan Braun's mom worked for Anheuser-Busch, literally brewing beer for them. And then Corey Knebel, their reliever, who maybe isn't a name, but I promise you by the end of the year, he'll be a guy. more people know his name because he's got really good stuff. He's kind of a home brewer, and I've talked to him a little bit about that, and he's tinkered around a little bit. I don't think it's a, you know, that's a tough hobby to have for a ball player because of all the travel and kind of being away, but it's something he's interested in, and I think he's tried a couple different styles of beer. So that's one thing, you know, tip to all players. If you come to Milwaukee, mention beer, and I think you'll gain some fans, and you'll certainly gain the interest of the beat writer because I like talking to players about beer.
Have you tried any of Corey Knievel's beer?
No, that is actually a really good task. It would be a good story.
Definitely.
I have not tried his beer, so I cannot vouch for the quality of his brewing, but I can vouch for the quality of his pitching. So we'll have to expand my knowledge a little bit.
Equally important. Okay, yeah. Before we let you go, I have two more quick questions. One is, you obviously spend a lot of time with these guys. You learn a lot about their weird habits. Who's the biggest goofball in the clubhouse on a team that just seems like it's full of fun guys?
Well, you know, the all-time goofball in Milwaukee was Jim Gantner, the second baseman for the really great Brewers teams of the late 70s and early 80s. And he played into the 90s, actually. Gumby, and he just had all these crazy lines. You know, someone would insult him. His most famous line is, "I resemble that remark." That's one that lives on today. We all say it to each other all the time. And he's around here. He comes out for home games, and he hits fungos to the guys, and he's sort of, you know, an unofficial member of the coaching staff. So he's kind of one of the all-time goofs. I would say on the team in the clubhouse now, I mean, Suter is one of them for sure. In spring training, when he gets up here, I think Josh Hader and Brett Phillips are the two guys who really stand out. They're Brewers prospects. They've yet to crack to the big leagues, but they did the Wayne's World thing. I know you guys picked up on that in spring training. They did a Wayne's World video where they did the top 10 baseball movies, Bow Down to Bob Uecker, which was very good. And those two guys have a ton of personality. And I think when they get up to the big leagues, they are going to be pretty popular, and they are definitely going to help us fill our notebooks on a daily basis.
Well, can't wait to see them up. All right, last question before you have to take off. Who is your favorite racing sausage?
Oh, well, easily the brat. Number one, my mother was born in Bavaria, so I'm, you know, a German literally at heart. And I actually did get to participate in a sausage race in 2002. I chose the bratwurst. It was a 10-run Cubs sixth inning as we were waiting to run the race. And we stood out there. There's a little holding area in left field at Miller Park where they open the door and the sausages come out. It was about 100 degrees, as I remember it, at least 100 degrees in the suit. And there were three other guys that were regular sort of ballpark employees that run this race. And one of them was incredibly sick. And I just remember they had put the turtle, the cage for batting practice, they stick it out there. And this guy was leaned up against the cage, you know, literally dying as we're waiting for this incredibly long Cubs inning. The gate opens. We run out. I thought, you know, they had talked to me. They knew I was sort of the newbie to this. I thought maybe they'd let me win. And instead, they just destroyed me. Although I did manage to beat the guy who was near death.
Well,
so I have that going for me. That is a lot harder than it looks because that suit moves around a lot. And your tendency is to want to cross your arms and hold it in place. But, you know, I always say you got to let your sausage flop. That's the key.
That is great advice, just overall. Adam McKelvey, MLB.com, Brewers Beat Writer, telling us amazing stories today.
Yeah, joining you for the one and only time on the Cut 4 podcast.
No, please come back all the time. I know you have to go get more stories specifically so you can tell us. So thank you so much. Go do your job, and thank you so much for joining us today.
All right, anytime.
That was really cool. Thanks to Adam for stopping by.
Yeah, I mean, so he's talking about how Eric Thames meditates now. That's something he brought back, that meditation is this key to his success now. And as you heard, we discussed our own views on meditation a little bit. Like, so would you do it? Are you going to start meditating? Would you meditate?
I'm insulted that you don't think that I already
meditate. Do you meditate?
No, but I'm insulted that you think that I don't. I would totally meditate.
Well, we have to get
Eric. I just don't have time.
Yeah, I mean, all right. I think we need to get Eric Thames on the podcast to also talk about all the books he reads.
We definitely need to get Eric Thames
yes,
on the podcast.
That would be so cool.
But now we got a reader question that I think we need to answer.
Yes.
This comes to us from Kevin Loxley at Kevin Loxley. He says, I can't remember. Has Cut 4 debated wearing your team's gear to other teams' games when your team isn't playing? That is a great question. Very long time ago, I actually read an article on our website about this that disappeared into the ether. I have a very strong opinion about this, but I want to hear you first, Gemma.
Okay. Well, I actually did reply in like a sentence on Twitter to Kevin, but I thought we should talk about it at length.
This is a good moral question.
I think it is okay to wear any baseball gear to a baseball game. Like, if I was going to go to Citi Field game and I was wearing a Tigers cap, I think that would be fine. It's your general support of love of baseball. However, there is an exception to this rule, which is you should not wear the baseball gear of an opposing team if you're doing it purely to upset fans. So if I was to go to Yankee Stadium wearing full Red Sox gear and the Red Sox were not in town, that would be unacceptable.
Okay, that is my exact opinion.
Okay.
I firmly believe that if you're just showing the support for baseball, it's fine. If you're doing it to prove a point passive aggressively, you are in the wrong. When I was in high school, our school took a trip to Boston, and while we were there, we went to a game at Fenway Park. A friend of mine was a Yankee fan. I want to say the game was like, I forget who the Red Sox were playing, but they were not playing the Yankees. I think it was the Orioles. Mm-hmm. And my friend wore his Yankee hat, and people were yelling at him the whole time. And he was like, ho, 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 this is so funny. And I was like, no, you don't go into somebody's house and disrespect them for no reason. And that has stuck with me. The image of him with that stupid grin on his face, wearing that Yankee hat in the most holy of baseball places. And I think it's just like, it becomes about why you're doing it.
Yes.
And there is no way to wear a rival hat or a rival jersey or whatever to a stadium where your team is not playing without that being a loaded with meaning.
Right. Like, I wouldn't even wear a Tigers cap to the Coliseum if I was going to go see an A's game. Like, I just wouldn't. Even though that rivalry has, like, somewhat lessened over the last couple years, like, that would still be rude, and it would be saying something if the Tigers were not themselves playing in that stadium.
Even within the city. Like, if you wore a Mets hat to Yankee Stadium or Yankee hat to Citi Field, or if you wore a Cubs hat to the White Sox, like, it's just, to me, it's like you're doing it to make a statement rather than you're doing it because you're like, I'm in a baseball game, I'm so excited, I love my Braves, and I'm here.
Well, I will say one time, so I was flying back to Michigan for Christmas, and I didn't wash my hair, so I put on cap, and I put on Mets cap, and my flight ended up getting rerouted through Philly for some silly reason, because, I don't know, airplanes. So I ended up having a layover in Philly, and when I was in the Philly airport with the Mets cap, people were so rude. So I guess I kind of deserved it. I mean, if I had known I was going to stop in Philly, I wouldn't have done that. But like, I got on the plane, and the flight attendant was like, boo, boo you.
Well, they just do that in Philly. That had nothing to do with your hat. That's just how they welcome you.
He told my seatmate, he was like, oh, do you want a drink? Don't ask her. She doesn't get a drink.
I will say there's a corollary to this, which is that it's only true in the stadium in major cities. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't wear a rival hat to, like, you shouldn't wear a Reds hat around Pittsburgh or whatever like that. But like, if you go to LA, you can wear your Giants hat out walking around town because LA is a cosmopolitan city.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to, like, if you're a Red Sox fan and you're in New York, if you're a Phillies fan, you're in New York, you can wear that hat walking around town.
Just because it's a big city.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And you'll see other people who are fans of your team.
I mean, however, my friend, big Dodgers fan, she has a Dodgers credit card that has a logo on it, whatever, and she was in San Francisco and paid for a meal, and the waiter was like, I hate you now.
Wow. So did they say that, really?
Yeah.
That's harsh.
It wasn't like a serious get out of the restaurant.
I hate you now. I would rather be kicked out of the restaurant than just have somebody look me in the eye and go, I hate you. You know,
enemies, just pure enemies.
Yeah, that's
so really you never sad. Know. Even though, like, San Francisco, also like a cosmopolitan city, her Dodgers card was not welcome there.
Well, yeah, I mean, that rivalry, it's heated, but
yes,
I think we answered this question pretty well.
I think so.
Which is that if you are definitely, if you're going to another league, as long as it's not the same city's team, mm-hmm. you're totally good there. Mm-hmm. I would argue another division, you're probably okay as well, mm-hmm. unless it's like a heated wild card race. That might be a problem.
Yeah,
just use your best judgment. If you're using it to make the statement of I don't like your team, then you're wrong.
General support of baseball is good, though. Yes. That is what we have
100%.
Yes.
It is now time to summarize our podcast into 140 characters. One tweet that accurately and adequately condenses our podcast down into one bite-sized chunk. I have been horrible at this for about 2 months. I feel I'm in a slump. It's bad. I may have to go host this podcast in Korea in order to get my groove back and then come back here. So I'm going to make you go first. What do you got?
Okay. David Ross's next Dancing with the Stars performance will include a Chris Coughlin-style leap over someone dressed as Pikachu.
That's good. That was good.
Yes.
Okay.
Should be Addison Russell. It should be Addison Russell dressed as Pikachu.
Okay, here's mine. I need to call my mom. So
period.
I need to move my signed Pokemon card collection to my new home on Mookie Betts Avenue.
That was cute. That was very good. That was very good.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. If you have a tweet that more accurately and adequately condenses our podcast down to one bite-sized chunk, please tweet it at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. Also, you can go to MLB.com/Cut4 to read all of the articles that we talked about on this podcast and a great many more. If you go to facebook.com/cut4, you can like our page and all of these articles will appear magically into your newsfeed at the whims of the Facebook engineers, whatever they may be. We will appear in your newsfeed. This is a podcast. You can actually go and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts. While you're there, leave us a rating, 1 to 5 stars, write us a review. Please do that. It actually helps other people find the show, believe it or not. And we like when other people find the show. It makes Gemma smile. Don't you want to make Gemma smile? And Gemma, thank you for being here and for putting up with me.
Of course. Well, it was a great show.
But mostly, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.